Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Common Core was launched by the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers in 2009. Those organizations may have very official-sounding names, as though they are government agencies, but they are actually private groups financed by foundations such as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Their plan is to induce all elementary and secondary schools to accept a comprehensive national education system that will enforce a national curriculum. This process bypasses parents and state and local school boards and will fundamentally transform education by dictating what every child will learn and not learn. Common Core was enabled by Obama's federal stimulus law and his Department of Education's race to the top gimmickry, and Pennsylvania has officially bought into it. If that isn't bad enough, the 2009 pork-laden stimulus package included a state fiscal stabilization fund to bribe states into constructing longitudinal data systems to collect data on public school students. As the American Principles Project, a conservative education think tank, reported last year, Common Core's technological project is, quote, merely one part of a much broader plan by the federal government to track individuals from birth through their participation in the workforce, unquote. So, PA has bought into all this. What does it all mean, and how can it be stopped if it can be stopped? My guest today is Cheryl Boyce with the Commonwealth Education Organization. Thanks, Cheryl, for being with us.
You're welcome.
We always get to talk about pleasant subjects like education.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. If the federal government would get out of the way, we would be fine. But they always have to stick their nose in everywhere.
Always.
Yeah,
always.
I have a quote from, actually it's from your all's website, but it's an article written by an 8th grade history teacher back in January. And this history teacher says, when I sit in faculty meetings about Common Core, I hear quote-unquote curriculum specialist tell me that Common Core is here to stay and I must quote-unquote embrace change. I am forced to drink the Kool-Aid. These specialists don't tell us to search for facts about Common Core on our own. They simply tell us what the people paid to promote Common Core want us to know. Why are we only given information from sources paid to say Common Core is a good thing? Isn't that exactly the same type of propaganda Dr. King discusses in his writings about education? Shouldn't we discuss why thousands of Americans are calling for a repeal of the standards? And then the teacher goes on and says, as a teacher, I definitely believe our classrooms are changing with the times, and I am not afraid of change. Teachers across America are hearing similar stories about how they should feel about Common Core. This is a brainwashing bully technique. Just because everyone is doing it doesn't make it right. In regards to Common Core, I am not afraid of change. I just am not going to sell out my students' education so that Pearson, the Gates Foundation, David Coleman, Sir Michael Barber, Mark Tucker, and others can experiment on our children, unquote.
The teacher's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly the issue.
So it's not just parents who are concerned. It's also teachers who are not willing to drink the poison Kool-Aid, as she mentioned.
Right.
But they're being forced to do that basically even to be able to keep their jobs.
Well, right now, I think they have no clue in a lot of cases really what this
okay.
is. I mean, it was really, I've sat in school board meetings and listened to administrators try to explain this. And clearly, this is, they don't even understand it. Let's be honest with you, we didn't have a public discussion. I mean, this whole thing happened. The states jumped on board with standards prior to them ever being even written. So why would you buy anything if you don't even know what it is? But
yeah.
That's what they did.
And that was part of the race to the top thing, right? The states had to buy into this and accept these standards, even though they'd never been written.
Yeah, I think what really happened, I think we had a twofold thing. You know, way back in outcome education days, you know, when they called them outcomes and now they're calling them standards, they
mm-hmm.
changed the wording, it's the
yeah.
same old, same old. They never really let that go. Those people, like the Mark Tuckers, they've always been there since back in the OBE days. So they've still been around. It just made it easier to have the states who were really desperate for money when the Obama administration came in, and then they had this, the race to the top.
Mm-hmm.
It made it easier to have them buy into this. But I think you really had two things running parallel, and then they crossed over. And it was just, you know, Obama was going to do certain things. This made life simpler. Now we have two things coming together. So I think that's what's happened, because this is really many of these people are the same old people that under the Clinton administration tried to sell us on a similar thing. Difference then was they tried to get through a legislative process. They started with history, which was their mistake, and this time they tried to change the semantics mm-hmm. and say this is a state-led initiative starting with math and language arts.
Okay.
So
okay.
they sort of learned from their mistake the last time, and they're tweaking their message in their PR this time. But
so
it's still
are they saying it's state-led because the states apply for the race to the top? And
yes.
in so doing, they agree to these criteria. So is that how the government is saying, well, this is state-led because these states have bought into or applied for race to the top to
well,
this grant?
They did it because they didn't want to deal with the constitutionality mm-hmm. of this whole issue. I mean, realistically, there are certain things, if you look at the law, that the federal government is not supposed to be involved in. They're not supposed to be this deep into the weeds when it comes to standards, testing, and related curriculum, but they are. So, again, it's an issue of semantics.
And even again, the Constitution, it shouldn't even be involved
right,
in education. Period.
Right,
yeah.
right. But if you say it's state-led,
okay.
then states are responsible for the education and
okay.
state and local control. So they can sell, they're trying to sell it like that, mm-hmm. but in reality, when you look at the people who sat down in the room to come up with the standards and come up with this game plan, those weren't state departments of education sitting in a room with the existing standards saying to each other, gee, Massachusetts, I really like your language arts. Maybe we can learn something from that.
Okay.
That didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
They just completely wiped out everybody's standards, didn't look at the existing standards anybody was using, had their own agenda, said to all the states, you know, this is what we're doing. And then we had Governor Rendell at that point jump on board, and we didn't even have the standards yet. We hadn't seen what we were buying into.
So we went into the whole thing blind.
Yes.
Wow.
And the thing that concerns me, they're talking about we have to be internationally competitive, and they're going to go through, and our kids are not college ready. And, you know, and some of what they're saying is accurate.
And some of what they're saying as far as not being ready is, to me, they're spending too much time on social issues, social agendas
right.
like pushing the homosexual agenda,
right.
Planned Parenthood in the classroom, giving sex ed classes and all this kind of stuff.
Right, they do.
Yeah.
And we never talk about that. We never have a dialogue
mm-hmm.
about all those kind of things. We never really talk about why are certain kids successful. Let's take the
yeah.
successful kids and the parents that are involved, and let's look at that whole
mm-hmm.
scenario. We never learn from that. What we just do is we chuck it all, and then we march to the same drummer. We're going to say, and it's sort of like the whole concept of No Child Left Behind. They wanted kids at 100% proficiency. Well, realistically, if you've ever worked with kids,
mm-hmm.
that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, kids are kids. They're all different. They have
right.
different likes, and that's just the way of the world. That's how we were. We weren't all the same. They're not going to be the same here. So it makes it difficult because we're not dealing with children. We're dealing with bureaucratic answers.
Yeah. Now, I have a question. I mean, you know, back in the 90s when Clinton was pushing his OB and all that was
right.
out there. Was the Gates Foundation, were big foundations like that involved in that also back in the 90s? Or do
well,
we have more of those big foundations with their hundreds of millions of dollars pushing
You have
stuff?
Them more there today, yeah.
More today,
yeah.
okay.
It's, I think if people would ask me, was it bad then? Yeah. Is it worse now? Yes. Because you've got the Gates Foundation, you've
mm-hmm.
got people like that that are behind it. You know, back in the 1990s, Bill Gates was too busy selling Microsoft
getting,
software. Right.
right.
Now he's got all this money. And
right.
And from
what I've read, it was the Gates Foundation that was the main ones pushing this whole thing.
Well, they're definitely, I mean, we have the Pearson Foundation who, you know, Pearson Publishing is out to make a really big killing. Because think about it, too. If you have everything pretty, you know, uniform, there's not a lot of need for a lot of different textbooks in companies like that. So it's pretty much monopoly
mm-hmm.
if you get in on the
pretty
ground
much,
floor
yeah.
with this
mm-hmm.
stuff. So you've got, like, the Pearson Foundation and Pearson Publishing who has, I mean, this is also money-making.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of money that's being made out there by this, and so you have to look at that too. You follow the money, you follow the contracts and what each of the entities are saying to one another, and then you find out the big picture.
Yeah. And speaking of following the money, as earlier this month there was a conference in Austin, Texas, a South by Southwest Education Conference in Austin. And it appears that the education technology gurus are just salivating at the prospect of the information plunder that's going to be out there. In fact, this is a quote from Jeffrey Olin, a product manager at education software company Compass Learning. He told Reuters, quote, "This is going to be a huge win for us." And they, along with two dozen other tech firms, Compass Learning and those two dozen other tech firms, see even greater financial opportunities to mine Common Core student tracking systems. And it goes on to saying that it's created strange bedfellows. We have, of course, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which, you know, was instrumental in promoting Common Core. And then we have a division of the conservative Rupert Murdoch's News Corp, mm-hmm. which actually built the database structure that's going to be used to collect all these students' data.
Right.
I mean, such important data to deal with their education, such important data like bus stop arrival time and bus stop description.
Right.
Dwelling arrangement, diseases, illnesses, and other health conditions, religious affiliation, telephone number type, and telephone status. I mean, this information is key to their success. I mean, it's crazy, but the National Education Data Model includes criteria like that will be asked of students through
exactly.
the Common Core.
Well, it's a couple of things. They're going to make money on a couple fronts. First of all, the testing. The paper pencil testing is going to be eliminated eventually, and all the testing is going to be done online. So there's the testing component.
So everything's going to be done online eventually.
Yeah, that's a big money. That's the other issue. Pennsylvania really doesn't know how much this is going to cost us.
Mm. But they see that federal dollars, like carrot hanging out there, and that's all they're looking at. They're zeroing in on that, not looking at the ramifications of accepting those federal dollars.
No, well, there's a couple things. They really haven't in Pennsylvania had, our legislators have had no discussion about this.
None.
I mean, it came through the state board, which are just a bunch of bureaucrats that really are appointed, that are not accountable to anybody, and they really are not a tax entity, so they don't have to worry about the bottom line.
So, yeah, they can decide if we accept the Common Core and all the financial ramifications. They can do
right.
that.
They can, and that brings the issue, this is a whole deviating, but that's an organization or a bureaucracy that needs to be really seriously looked at. We have 21 members, the largest in the country, and they're out there dictating to this, but yet they're not the one that has to come up with the money.
Well,
just
real quick, who appoints them? The governor or?
The governor.
Okay.
They're appointed for terms. Now, they're basically could be overlapping. I mean, you have the previous governor. Mm-hmm. Some of them could have been from his appointments, and then you've got the current governor, so they're appointed. But yet, they make this decision behind closed doors, and people don't even know they exist, because when you say that, they think they mean school boards. No,
it's
not school boards. So they made this decision, so they got us into this whole thing, and yeah, I know we got raised the top money. We got $41.3 million a year ago, January, Governor Corbett announced that. But most of that money is for the teacher evaluation system. It is not going to impact what we're talking about. It's not going to impact the technology, the data collection, the actual implementation, the Common Core,
mm-hmm.
because this is coming through in a regulatory process and not through a piece of legislation. It was reviewed by our state independent regulatory review commission, who said at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, after they reviewed everything, they said that this is not cost neutral, that the state board said it's cost neutral. All we were doing were exchanging standards, but it isn't, because the technology that's associated mm-hmm. with this alone, plus the professional development for the teachers, because it's not just about the standards, it's about how they teach is going to change too.
Well, yeah, because if they change the test, and basically it's like no child left behind, they're going to be teaching to the test.
Yes, and there's going to be more tests. That's the other issue, too. And I've spoken to the Secretary of Education. Yes, we have the PSSA.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're implementing, in conjunction with the Common Core, we're implementing the Keystone graduation testing for, like, Algebra 1 and those things. But on the top of that, there are national tests being proposed that are worked on. One's called PARC. The other one is Smarter Balance. There are two testing consortia. They're working on this, and, you know, Pennsylvania is saying, oh, we're really not involved. Well, guess what? We found the contracts. Yeah, we did get ourselves into something.
Okay, that was part of it. You accept the money, then you accept all the fallout.
Well, that's the other issue. I mean, you're saying we're not involved, but yet we've got contracts that say,
the
state is involved at some level. So what, are we going to have more tests? I mean, are we going to be testing these kids to death? What are you going to do with the PSSA? What are you going to do with the Keystone? What are you going to do if, we, in order to get federal money, you now have to take these tests that you signed up and said you'll be involved with? I mean, it, test, test, test. All we're doing is testing the kids.
I mean, when I was in school, we had, you know, regular tests throughout the year. Plus, we had, in December, we had, two half days in the first or second week of December, which we had midterm exams, okay?
Right.
And then in this late spring, we had 2-3 half days where those are concentrated on final exams.
Right.
And, I mean, I survived. I passed. We didn't have to have any kind of test. There wasn't that much testing beyond the test that the teacher,
right,
you know, in-class teacher gave, and then we had the midterm exams and the final exams. And education was much better back then. It's just crazy to me. And when we talk about all these tests, I mean, we're talking about right now they have the PSSA, as you said. They're
right.
going to switch to Keystone exam and the Board of Education, which you were speaking about a few minutes ago, on March 14th. They were formally adopted regulations to implement Common Core. And
right.
that's all school districts would, in addition, have to accept Common Core, which, again, there's no local control at all. The state board has spoken. All school districts must implement this. And they must also, at this point, require students to pass Keystone exams. And right now, this is an article from the, I'll let you address this in a minute, but here's what, right now the Board of Education has adopted this schedule for implementing the Keystone exams. Beginning with the class of 2017, students will be required to pass 3 Keystone exams, Algebra 1, Biology, and Literature, to obtain a high school diploma.
Right.
Class of 2019 will be required to pass 4 Keystone exams, Algebra 1, Biology, Literature, and Composition. Class of 2012 and beyond, 5, Algebra 1, Biology, Literature, Composition, and Civics and Government. If those kids don't pass those 5 Keystone exams, they do not graduate.
Well,
I wouldn't have graduated because I'm terrible in algebra. I would not have graduated.
Well, they're saying this is the, if you talk to them long enough, the powers to be about this, you're going to get different stories. They're going to say they're going to have more than one chance to pass. Well, first of all, let's go back to the Common Core. The question is, and I've asked this question and I've gotten a good answer, you have the Keystone exams. Are they really aligned to the Common Core? Because, you know, we were doing the Keystone before the Common Core came out. Now we got the Common Core. So, you know, we had to ask, this is another thing. There's a document called a transition report that was between the PA Department of Ed and the Federal Department of Ed, where the PA Department of Ed is asking permission to integrate all this stuff together.
Because
that was at the beginning of the school year.
Yeah, because Pennsylvania's already bought the test.
Yeah, but the problem is, think about who they asked. That in and of itself is wrong. I mean, we should not ask the federal government for permission to do anything because they have no right.
Yeah.
It's a state issue. So we're asking that. That in and of itself is wrong. But the thing is, they're saying, you know, what test are these kids taking? We don't have an answer. I mean, we're now being told that you're going to have all this tracking of the kids and all of this stuff and these standards, and we've got this national testing that's going to be aligned, and we keep saying, well, okay, that's great. Now what happens to these Keystone exams? Is that part of it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that an addition to? Is that separate? Try getting an answer. They look at you like you're not supposed to know that much to be able to formulate that kind of question, but you can't get an answer.
That's crazy.
So we really don't know. The other thing that's very offensive to me on this, the state board rushed and passed this knowing that they are getting a lot of heat.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people asking questions about what they did. These Common Core standards, the people that looked at them, the people that are curriculum specialists, and I can give a long list of names of people that looked at this, said these are inferior. These are not better than a lot of these state standards. You're actually pushing something on us that is not internationally competitive. It's worse.
It weakens us.
Weakens us. And why? And the other thing is, you can have the lowest acceptable standards, but my question is, what happens to the kids on top?
Exactly.
What happens to the kids that excel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're saying through this whole technology thing that they're going to give every kid an IEP. Every kid. Right now, every child that has an IEP is special ed, whether you're gifted or learning support or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're saying that they're going to give every kid
more paperwork.
An IEP.
More
yeah, I mean, how's a teacher supposed to, because an IEP is a contract between the school and everybody involved saying, we're going to do the following things very specific to this child.
Wow.
Now, that's a little tough to do when the child's just a typical child that doesn't have any special needs.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're going to do that and track the kids.
More cost. Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
It's probably the biggest bureaucratic nightmare I've seen. Yeah. I thought outcome-based education was bad. This is like 10 times worse.
Wow. Now, when it comes to all this Common Core stuff, will that impact private schools?
Unfortunately, let me just say this about the parochial schools. They've already bought into this.
I've had
parents call me that have already seen it, yes. And you can verify, and I did verify through one of the dioceses that indeed they are on the move.
But they do have a choice as to whether they do or not, though.
Well, the only reason I think they're doing this is they're saying they're going to align the SATs to those standards.
So if
they do that, if you want your kids to go off to college, mm-hmm. your students, then I think they're feeling like, well, we have no recourse but to do it so our kids can pass these tests. And then what happens with the homeschoolers eventually? I mean, if they want to go off to college somewhere, unless all the schools like the Grove Cities of the world that don't take federal money mm-hmm. say, we're not going to accept SAT scores anymore mm-hmm. as a criteria for entrance.
Wow.
So they're trying to tangle it all together.
Yeah, one giant web. Government involvement.
Yes.
So can this be stopped, and if so, how?
Let me put it to you this way. The head of the snake is the money. It's sort of like the healthcare exchanges with the healthcare thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a way to get around it. Right now, other states, have looked at this, and they're passing legislation to stop it.
Okay.
Because ultimately, education is still, unless they change the Constitution, it's a responsibility of the state government.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to get the bill.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt they're going to get the bill on this one. You know, the federal government can say, or whoever, and the Bill Gates, I don't know how much money the man has all total.
Too much.
But, you know, unless he's going to come in and fund every single state and every single school district, then the money has to come from somewhere. It's going to come out of our pocket.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what we're hoping for in Pennsylvania, we're working on this now, and there are legislators who, unfortunately, up to this point, just until the last few months, weren't even aware that this was going on. Because
wow.
it didn't go through them. There was
yeah.
no discussion. There was no Senate or House Education Committee hearings or discussions on this. There was no anybody looking at, if no other thing, how about we look at just the cost? I mean, I know that's not what we want them to look at. We want them to look at the whole package,
but as
legislators, they have to appropriate that money.
Yeah.
So we want them to go now in Pennsylvania to do what other states are doing, and other states, and the list is growing, have started to look at this hearings. There are states that have written pieces of legislation that are pending that they're working on now trying to get through. The other issue is, you know, the federal government. People
mm-hmm.
are starting to talk, not so much the Senate, because we all know the Senate
yeah,
in Washington
it's hopeless.
Is...
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. Though I have to really say, I mean this sincerely, this is a bipartisan issue when you start talking to people, because the people that are going to lose the most on this are kids in those underperforming districts.
Yeah, that's true.
And historically,
like Philadelphia.
Yes, and
mm-hmm.
those are Democratic
yeah.
legislative districts.
Farmers, yeah.
So I think that we are seeing some of our Democratic legislators realizing this is going to come back to bite them.
Well, that's good.
So
that's
we've got
good.
Them on they both
need,
sides.
They need to know. They need to realize that, and their constituents need to let them know. How can folks contact you and CEO?
Well, they can call us at 412-967-9691. We do have a website. Let me just direct you to that. It's www.ceopa.org. And I'll let you know that on the website there are two videos related to this. The one video explains the standards. It's a group from Georgia. And then the second video is talking about the data collection,
mm-hmm.
which is a group
that
from Oklahoma.
That's most informative. I watched that one, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a serious component. There are the teacher evaluations, the Common Core, the data collection, all of this is integral to this whole
yeah.
game plan.
Yeah.
So you have to know that. And then on the website under those videos, you'll see a flyer, what we put together. It was actually, the draft originally came from the state of Indiana,
mm-hmm.
because they're a little bit ahead of us on this, and they gave us permission to tweak that, and we
okay.
updated the information in there to correspond to Pennsylvania. So if anybody wants to print that out, you have our permission.
Okay.
And you can
so that's ceopa.org,
yes.
and your number is 412-967-9691.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thanks for all your good work down there in the Pittsburgh area. and for keeping us informed as to what's going on across the state. I really appreciate that.
You're very
so
welcome.
So you guys take care, and you hope you have your cold.
You too.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.